In today's news headlines, a massive slide in stock values on Monday triggered a halt on trading as the S&P 500 fell by 7 percentage points within 5 minutes of the market opening. Already, that economic indicator had fallen 12 points from its peak in February. According to the New York Times, quote, the drop on Monday was the worst for stocks in the United States since August 2011, when a congressional fight over the debt ceiling pushed the U.S. to the brink of defaulting on its debt. End of quote. Although stock prices have fallen, they've done so after months of growth, leaving current prices at levels similar to last summer. The stock market jitters are largely linked to the rapid spread of the coronavirus around the world, where quarantines and stockpiling have hampered distribution, labor markets, supply lines, and transportation. Oil companies appear to be the most impacted at the moment. Globally, there's been a similar outlook, with Associated Press reporting that the main stock indexes in Britain and Germany were down by almost 7%, Japan's benchmark closed down 5.1%, while Australia's lost 7.3% and the Shanghai market in China was off 3%. Worst affected by the coronavirus spread is Italy, where more than 7,000 infections are reported and 366 have died. More than 16 million people are now officially under quarantine. Italian Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte expanded the quarantine to Lombardy and northern Italy, where the disease has had the greatest impact. So far, this is the largest COVID-19-related quarantine outside China. One resident of Milan told the New York Times, "We are the new Wuhan," referring to the Chinese city where the virus is thought to have originated. More than 24 prisons have seen inmate riots over fears of the coronavirus spreading in close quarters. There was even a mass escape of inmates at one prison. Italy's stock market did not even open as expected, and when it did, prices had fallen 11%. In China, the virus spread appears to have slowed down relative to the rest of the world. The Wall Street Journal reported that confirmed cases outside China tripled over the past week. Chinese authorities have been touting the effectiveness of their top-down virus prevention measures. Meanwhile, over the weekend, a hotel in the Chinese city of Quanzhou that had been used to house people under observations for coronavirus infections collapsed, killing 10 and trapping 23. Here in the United States, the cruise ship that was docked off of the coast of California has been allowed to disembark in Oakland. The LA Times explained that, quote, of the 2,500 passengers aboard the ship, those in need of immediate medical care or those with pre-existing medical conditions will get off the ship first on Monday, followed by California residents. Aside from passengers, there are more than 1,000 crew members, mostly non-Americans, who will be quarantined on board the ship. Another cruise ship, this time near Florida, has had 2 crew members that tested positive for the virus. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have now issued guidelines warning people, especially the elderly, from traveling on cruise ships and taking long plane flights. On Sunday, the U.S. State Department also issued a warning saying that, quote, U.S. citizens, particularly travelers with underlying health conditions, should not travel by cruise ship. Meanwhile, as President Donald Trump met with his economic advisors on Monday to discuss how to respond to the coronavirus spread, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, together with Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, released a joint statement laying out a set of conditions for any economic package. The two leaders said in their statement, "We are demanding that the administration prioritize the health and safety of American workers and their families over corporate interests." The two leaders want paid sick leave for workers who are under quarantine or who have to stay at home to care for kids whose schools are shut down due to the virus. They're also demanding a boost to the social safety net, including food stamps and unemployment insurance, and widely available and free tests for the virus. So-called gig workers are especially affected, having no paid sick leave. Over the weekend, rideshare companies Uber and Lyft gave into pressure, saying they would ensure drivers under quarantine would be compensated for lost wages. Meanwhile, President Trump, who has appeared to seem optimistic as his much-touted economic miracle fades, says he is not worried about the virus. Speaking to reporters from his Florida resort over the weekend, Trump said, "No, I'm not concerned at all. No, we've done a great job with it." But on Monday, two members of his party, Senator Ted Cruz and Representative Paul Gosar, announced self-imposed quarantines after they attended the Conservative Political Action Committee's annual meeting, where they apparently interacted with a person diagnosed with COVID-19. Former Acting Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney, echoing the favored Trump administration line, said to CPAC attendees, "The reason you're seeing so much attention to the coronavirus today is that Democrats think this is going to be what brings down the president. That's what this is all about." Trump replaced Mulvaney with his close ally, Representative Mark Meadows, as the new chief of staff shortly after. In election-related news, Trump over the weekend retweeted a video shared by his social media manager, Dan Scavino, of Democratic presidential frontrunner Joe Biden that was edited so as to give the impression Biden was urging Trump's re-election.
Turn this primary from a campaign that's about negative attacks into one about what we're for, because we cannot get re-elect. We cannot win this re-election. We can only re-elect Donald Trump.
But the video was cut off before Biden finished his thought, which unedited versions of the video showed.
We can only re-elect Donald Trump if, in fact, we get engaged in this circular firing squad.
Twitter has now placed a label on the original tweet that reads "manipulated media" to warn users of the deception. Meanwhile, Biden's popularity has continued to soar after last week's Super Tuesday elections. In a new CNN poll released just before several states vote on March 10th, 52% of registered voters who are Democrats or Democratic-leaning independents say they want to see Biden win the nomination, while 36% say they'd rather see Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders win. Former presidential candidates Cory Booker and Kamala Harris threw their weight behind Biden. Sanders, in the meantime, won an endorsement from former candidate Jesse Jackson, whose own presidential bid Sanders had once backed. At a rally in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Jackson said this.
"I stand with Bernie Sanders today because he stood with me. I stand with him because he's never lost his taste for justice for the people. I stand with him because he stands with you."
That's the Reverend Jesse Jackson in Michigan endorsing Senator Sanders at a rally in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Senator Elizabeth Warren, meanwhile, has continued to refuse to endorse a candidate, despite several requests from Sanders. In international news, there were massive marches in Latin America over the weekend, marking International Women's Day. Mexican women marched in a two-day protest and national strike to speak out on violence against women. Nearly 100,000 women participated in Mexico City, many of them wearing the color purple. In Santiago, Chile, 150,000 women marched, along with 40,000 more in other parts of the country. There were also marches in Sao Paulo, Brazil, Bogota, Colombia, and elsewhere. And that does it for our news headlines today.